Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Thank you for taking time to join us as we take time to learn from God's Word together. The message you are about to hear comes from the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Listen to more sermons or learn more about the church at our website, capenazarene.org.
I would like to read from you from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said, and this is from Psalm 95, so I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet His work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all His work. And again in the passage above He says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This He did when a long time later He spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For those who enter God's rest also rest from their own work, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So this is the third week we've been spending in Hebrews. The first 2 weeks we saw that he's talking to a church that is weary, who has experienced some decline, some weariness of following Jesus, and he is preaching to them and speaking to them. And also, and the way he is doing it is reminding us of who Jesus is, who He is for us and for our salvation, that we would commit our lives and order our lives after Christ. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, I know it starts with therefore, and usually I hate to read a passage of Scripture that starts with therefore, because usually it means there's something earlier that I really have to make sure that, you know, I communicate. That usually when someone says therefore, it means something important happened, and now he's getting to the conclusion. But he says therefore like three times in this chapter. I don't know if you notice this. He says it like those old-time evangelists say in conclusion. You know, when they said in conclusion, you would think, oh, good, the sermon's going to end in about 5 minutes. I can close my Bible. I can get ready to go. No, no, no. They say in conclusion like three or four times. So when they say in conclusion, it doesn't mean pack up, get ready to go. It means buckle in. He's just getting started. And so the preacher in Hebrews, whenever he says everybody, it seems like he's just moving on to another point. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, he's moving on to another point, and it's this. We've just read Psalm 95. He quotes it in Hebrews chapter 3, and we read it at the beginning of worship today. In Psalm 95, it talks about God's rest for us and says, today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. And then at the end of the psalm, it kind of ended on that sober note that, oh, you know, I'm not going to let anyone enter my rest. And so what the Hebrew preacher is saying is he's saying, well, if he said someone's not going to enter his rest, then it kind of goes to show that it means someone else is entering his rest. If there's some people who aren't going to enter his rest, it means there is rest to be entered. And so to enter his rest, it is because it's for those who don't harden their hearts. It's for those who will follow in obedience. And so he says, the rest that God has entered into, all the way back shown in the story of creation, is a rest that is offered to His people. And it is to this rest that we are encouraged to look forward and to look to. Because if it is possible that some won't enter, it is also possible for us to join Him in that rest. And that rest is a rest in the presence of God. And the creation of God's story is all throughout Hebrews chapter 4. You see it from beginning to end. The creation story is definitely in mind here. And he wants us to remember that day and know that God created the world, that God's word spoke out into the void, and he created the dirt and the sky and the plants and the birds and the fish and the people and the animals and everything in it. He created for us. And he and on that seventh day, though, he rested from that work. Have you ever had a period of time where you worked and you worked and you worked and you couldn't remember the last time you had a day off? You ever had one of those periods of times? I had one of those recently, and I was I told someone I was going out with my son on Saturday. I said, this is the first day off I've had in so long. And right after I said that, I said, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. So often, I try very hard not to try to hear the words of the word that say, hey, let's tell everyone how busy we are. because I found myself saying, as I say that, like a lot of times we wear our busyness as kind of like the, you know, this badge of honor. But I can't help but think if God has commanded us to rest, you know, to have a Sabbath rest as he does in the Ten Commandments, to model ourselves after God, there's something wrong with that as a badge of honor, right? In all reality, it's sinful to never have a day of rest. And so as soon as I said that, I'm like, oh man, why did I even say that? Why did I even share? Like, I don't want to encourage that kind of, I don't know, unfaithfulness. And so, but how often it is indeed that we get caught up and there's things that we have to do. And things that we feel, if we stop, if we take a break for anything, the world's going to fall apart. But the glorious thing about the creation story is God, the one who creates the world, stops on the seventh day and the world kept spinning. and life kept going on. Like God rested and the world kept going. And so there's this beautiful kind of picture that if we can believe that if we can stop for a day and thank God for what he has done and what he's doing and know that, you know what, life's going to go on. Things aren't going to fall apart. In other words, I am not the sole proprietor, the sole mover of everything that happens in my life. I get to rest in the presence of God and say, you are the sole mover. You are the one who orders my life, and you are the reason why I'm able to move on. So he invites us to rest. And if you remember to that time when it had been a long time since you have rest, we take rest in the briefest of moments. The, like, oh, I have an hour. I have an hour where I'm not thinking about work because I'm bringing it home or because I'm doing it. And what do we do with that hour? We do everything we can not to think about work. So we kind of like zombify. We're like in front of the TV, in front of the video game, whatever it is, whatever I have to do to distract myself so I'm not thinking about work. And we call that a moment of rest. And it is not at all. In fact, I think there's a biblical term we could use for that kind of life and that kind of distraction from the rest that God wants to give us. And that is a word I would call slavery. For the people of God, before God left them, when they were in Egypt, and they were growing and multiplying, they had gone there in refuge because of the famine. And they go there, and they start multiplying, and the Pharaoh in Egypt says, they're getting too big, there's going to be an uprising, they're going to overthrow everyone, we got to do whatever we can to stop them and keep them in their place as slaves. And so what they did is they took the straw away and they said, you still have to make bricks. You got to make more bricks. But they made it twice as hard. It would take twice as long. And they'd have to make even more than they were. Basically, sun up to sundown every single day, you are working. And so when they are delivered from Egypt in the Exodus and they're going to the promised land and Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and they hear those Ten Commandments and they hear, keep the Sabbath holy. You shall do no work on this day. That wasn't, oh, one more commandment I have to try to follow. That was a word of freedom. That was a word of liberation. You are no longer slaves. You are no longer to be ordered by a kind of day where you have to feel like I just always have to be working. And so he says, we're going to enter into real rest, not the kind of rest where, oh, I have to continually be working. And any moment I have, I'm probably just zoning out in front of, I don't know, the news or something, which is just going to stress me out more. And so, but he says, no, I want to enter, have you enter into real rest. Rest in the presence of God. Rest that is pointing to our eternity with God. And so he says to us, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And the preacher here goes on. He says, it's kind of weird that he says, we have a chance today, because during the Exodus, when Joshua led them, after Moses died, when Joshua led them into the promised land, it would seem like that was the time. God is now leading them into their rest. He's leading them to their place. But he says, no, this psalm was written to David long after they had settled in the land. You don't get to say, hey, we've made it now and we can do whatever we want now. The obedience is still called upon for us. And so for us today too, we don't get to say, well, I prayed once at the altar or I got baptized. No, the obedience of God, of course, is still called for us. Obedience to stay in his presence, and the obedience throughout the week to honor him and everything that we say and that we do. And so he says to us, for all of us who are called to find that as we are following after Jesus, no matter how hard it gets, to know that God has promised for us a rest in the days to come, he says this: the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. And I've heard this passage of Scripture so many times. Most of the time when I've heard it as a preacher saying, here is the Word of God, this is the Scripture, and it will indeed convict you, and you'll read this, you'll learn how to live, and it does cut. And to treat this with respect, and to let it dwell within you. And I find myself saying, this is all true about Scripture, without a doubt. It is sharp in that way. It divides, and it says, hey, this is how you're to live your life, and you start saying to yourself, okay, I need to cut this out, or I need to start this practice. That's why we preach from it every single week. The Word of God, a lot of times used in Scripture, is used to talk about Jesus, the Word of God made flesh. And without a doubt, Jesus, what he does when he comes into our life, is he starts to say, hey, I've laid a claim on your life, and I've called you to faithfulness. But in this passage of Scripture, the more I look at it, despite the number of times I've heard chapter 12 referred to the Scriptures, he's thinking of creation so much in this verse. He talked about it about the day of rest. And even here, I can't help but think of the Word of God that spoke over the chaos and created day one and day two, the lights and the ground and the air. That God can speak, and it can divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. That his word can create and it can destroy. His word can speak and it can go right to our thoughts and to our hearts. And he knows who we are. And when it says in verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything's uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him who must give account. I can't help but think of the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve just from the tree, and then they eat together, and they realize, oh, wait a minute, we don't have clothes on. Wait a minute, as they eat and sin enters into their life, and their eyes and their worldview is tainted by sin and lust and the things of the world, they cover themselves up and they hide from God. Yet their sin cannot be hidden from God, and he finds them. And though they have covered up, he sees them for who they are. And so what the Hebrew writer tells us is we are laid bare before God. He knows us inside and out, everything about us. And yet, this same God who knows us inside out, knows all of our mistakes, knows our sins, knows our faults, nonetheless, that God says, I welcome you into my rest. If you would not harden your hearts, if you would be obedient to Christ, if you would accept his forgiveness, I welcome you into that rest. That is his invitation for us out of his love and his care for us. And I love that God is willing at all times to be able to say, this is the invitation for you, and I welcome you into this. And so, in this time period, it is as if we are The people of God still in the wilderness, going towards that promised land, that rest that He's promised. But He has called us to faithfulness meanwhile. And has promised us, nonetheless, that the God who spoke in this world and the God who is active and alive will still be involved with us and will help us during this time. What a blessing it is indeed for us. And so I ask indeed, where are you today? Do you know without a doubt that there is a God who loves you despite whatever past that He might see, despite what is laid bare before Him? Do you know that God loves you and says to you today, come, enter my rest. Today is the day where you say, God, I'm following you wholeheartedly. I am going to follow you and trust in you. Today is the day where we say, Jesus, I want to accept you as Lord and Savior in my life, because I know that you are still at work in this world and in my life today. That is our invitation for this morning. And I know that as we go to God and say, God, I want to be faithful to you, that I would be able to be in your presence on a regular basis, knowing that I am only practicing being in your presence for all eternity. That we find that God indeed offers us the assurance of our salvation. And what a blessing it is indeed. Let us also note, today is the day God has said, I love you and I want to show you the kingdom that I have prepared for you. Let us enter into that together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast. We hope that the message has inspired you to draw closer to God each day. May God bless you as you serve Him today.